It's Brother Hanson from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a mini Bible, and it's a powerful book, and I hope you're enjoying it. We're going to get right into the study of chapter 62 right now, if you'd like to follow along. Chapter 62, and we're going to just go ahead and roll back to verse 1 of chapter 62. And I know we went to feed like one or two verses, just, but we're just going to start over. It's such a powerful book. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said of you forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her. My delight is in her. And your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, it will never again give your grain as food for your enemies. In other words, God's going to look out for his people. Nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they will call of them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The nation of Israel is to be blessed, and God is looking out for her. And as we read this 62nd chapter, many commentators believe that Isaiah is speaking in verse 1. If so, Isaiah's zeal for his people and his desire to see the work of salvation completed caused him to pray without resting, hoping that Israel would be saved. And we should also have Isaiah's zeal to see God's will done. This is what we mean when we pray, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is good to keep praying persistently for others. And as we look at this 62nd chapter, the people of Jerusalem, Zion, actually, the people of Zion, which can encompass the modern day church as well, will have new names. The new names, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, believers today also have the new names, Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we are called a holy priesthood, a royal nation, and God is in business of making everything new. And what he's going to do with this earth is to restore it to its original creation. Not make it a little better, but restore it completely to its original creation. And that's going to entail some major development and some major reconstruction. I guarantee it. Now, as we get into the 63rd chapter, Edom, considering God's vengeance on the nations, who is this who comes from Edom with garments of glowing colors from Bozra, this one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like the one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the wine trough alone, and from the peoples there was no man with me. I also trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled on my garments. I stained all my raiment, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, and there was no one to help, and I was astonished, and there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath upheld me. I trod down the peoples in my anger. Now, this particular chapter, very interesting. Edom was a consistent enemy of Israel, despite its common ancestry in Isaac. Genesis 25 and 23, Edom rejoiced at any trouble Israel faced. And the imagery in this passage is of a watchman on the war, or on the wall of Jerusalem, seeing Edom approaching and fearing that the Edomite king in his red garment is leading an attack, but it turns out to be the Lord in a blood-stained apparel who has trampled and destroyed Edom. Bozra is a city in Edom. For other prophecies against Edom, you can see Amos, the first chapter, in verse 11 and 12, Obadiah 10 and verse 11, Malachi verses 1, actually chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. And the 63rd chapter continues on. We're going to go ahead and read the rest of it. And made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. This is the vengeance of Jesus Christ. He's coming back not as a graceful Savior the second time. He's coming back for vengeance. And there'll be a judgment, a punishment, and the nations will be held responsible. As he demonstrates here, trample them in my wrath. Their life blood is sprinkled on my garments and stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart. The day of vengeance is going to be in the heart of the Lord Jesus on his second appearance on this earth. The day of vengeance. We've got to maintain a realization that this is what's going to happen as we read the book of the Revelation, the book of Isaiah, the book of Daniel, tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is in his judgment, and he's coming back for a day of vengeance, and my year of redemption has come. It's already come and gone, and people are receiving Christ, but not everyone. My year of redemption has come. I looked, and there was no one to help. No one helped the Lord Jesus. He was abandoned. You remember, he was abandoned, died alone. On the cross, he died there in place of each and every one of us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken of all, and he took our place as he died in our place, and in our place of judgment, he took our place. My year of redemption has come. I looked, and there was no one to help. I was astonished. There was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me. My own arm. God is the only one that can make that declaration. Did you know that? My own arm brought salvation to me. My own arm. Nobody else could save the Lord. Nobody. Nobody's in that position. Not an angel or a created being or any kind of a, you know, person that has any kind of upper kingship or whatever. There's no one is going to be able to save God. Say his name is Jesus. Nobody can save him. My own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath upheld me. I trod down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. This is something that will take place. Poured out their lifeblood on the earth. Sounds like very serious, doesn't it? Doesn't sound pretty. And I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us. And here Isaiah is speaking, which he has granted them according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people. Surely they are my people. Sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. Now, he redeemed them the first time when he died on a cross. On the cross, his love and his mercy redeemed them. He took their place. And he lifted them and carried them all the days of old, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. Then his people remembered the day of old of Moses. Where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths like the horses, like the horse in the wilderness, they did not stumble. As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. Where are your zeal and your mighty deeds? The stirrings of your heart and your compassion are restrained toward me. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our hearts from fearing you? Return for our sake your servants, the tribes of your heritage, your people possessed your sanctuary for a little while. Our adversaries have trodden it down. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who were not called by your name. We become like the heathen. But you have provided a way of redemption. Now, grieving, as we read in the grieving the Holy Spirit, is a willful thwarting of his leading and his, and by disobedience or rebellion, Isaiah mentions the work of the Holy Spirit more than any other Old Testament writer. In this note in Ephesians 4 and verse 28 to 32, for more of the grieving of the Holy Spirit, you can find a little bit more about this, grieving the Holy Spirit. And this 63:15 to 64, on behalf of the faithful remnant, Isaiah asked God for two favors, to show tenderness and compassion to them and to punish their enemies. Before making these requests, Isaiah recited the Lord's past favors, or favors, reminding him of his compassion in former days. And then he also mentions about the compassion that the Lord's being his the Redeemer from old. Your name is Redeemer. And he also says something very interesting. Why, O Lord, did you cause us to stray from your ways? To stray from your ways. Well, as he hardened the hearts, sometimes God will harden a heart if he gives up on someone, if they refuse to obey, and he abandons them, and his Holy Spirit somehow lets them go. I gave them over to a reprobate mind. Some people will be given over to a reprobate mind, which is a sad, sad place to be. Well, that's our time for today, folks. We'll have to take this up tomorrow in chapter 64 of Isaiah. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Give us a call and write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.